Good morning. Welcome on this first Sunday of Advent. Sunday is also an important day, always an important day to Christians. It is the day we reaffirm our convictions, refresh our souls, and strengthen our spirits. May the Lord richly bless our worship this day. We would like to ask you to take a minute to fill out the ritual friendship cards in the back of the pews. As always, they're an important way to communicate with Reverend Chris and with Jackie. Do want to go over a few announcements on the back of your bulletin. Reverend Chris will be holding his office hours as stated. We do have a general church board meeting Wednesday at 6:30, and you don't have to have an official capacity on the board as far as to attend this meeting, so we encourage anybody to come to the board meeting. There is a Tuesday work day scheduled as, is it 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock. Junior choir rehearsal today after church, and it's noted there about the junior youth group Christmas party on December 21st. I do want to ask the people who have graciously agreed to be on the selection committee to meet with Reverend Chris and myself in his office after church today. It'll be a quick meeting just to organize, and the budget meeting will be meeting at 1 o'clock in Reverend Chris's office also. Are there any other announcements I may have overlooked? Okay. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility of this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him. Thank you. At this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn in our chalice hymnal, we will be singing verse 1 of 119, O come, Emmanuel. At the very beginning, God spoke a word and brought order out of chaos. In the time of the Pharaohs, God spoke a word to bring us the law through Moses. In the fullness of time, God revealed himself as the Word made flesh, who left the heavens to walk among us. Come, let us worship God and receive the word. Let us bow for the invocation followed by the opening Lord's Prayer, please. On this first Sunday of the Advent season, we turn our eyes toward Bethlehem. For a time we turn aside from the busyness of our world to see the Christ child and to catch a vision of the new order he came to bring. Help us in the days ahead to focus on the cradle and to learn the secret of a life lived for others. For it is in his name we pray, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to ask you to take out in your worship bulletin the Advent insert, and we will be having the lighting of the Advent candle. So I'll be reading, and we will be saying the prayer together, and then I will be concluding with the bottom of the page. Watch, the time is coming. God promised that a Messiah would be born that would transform our lives and our world. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, but we have another chance to prepare. We have another chance to celebrate his birth by making our hearts ready and our lives open to his presence. Watch. Do not let the sparkle of the season overshadow the message. Let us pray together. God, we confess that with all of the preparations we have to make, all of the gifts we have to buy, and all of the baking we need to do, we need your help to keep our eyes open. Help us to watch and get ready for the birth of the Christ child. Amen. We light this one candle to shine in the darkness. May this candle guide our lives and give us hope to prepare our whole selves for Christmas, even if some of the less important things go undone. At this time, the community will come together to share tithes and offerings. We give out of obedience and loyalty to Jesus Christ. His cause is our obedience, his concerns are our concerns, and his mission is our mission. Our offertory hymn will be A Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4, and that's on page 144 of your child's hymnal.
Bless these offerings we bring before you. Help us to give these gifts generously so that the Christ child can be seen and felt by all. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning will be found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, and that's in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 667. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep, the word of the Lord. This morning our anthem by our sanctuary choir will be First Christmas Memories.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. As we gather this first Sunday in Advent, I do hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and great time with your family. As we lift up our prayers and joys to God, I do want to give thanks for many things in our church. I want to give thanks for the youth in our church. They had a meeting, the senior youth group, last week, and they participated in a canned food scavenger hunt. And I want to mention that to you because we have our sleigh over here, Santa's sleigh, that we fill up every year with food to give to the food bank. And you will see that it is pretty well close to full already. And that's because of their efforts last week, and of course also to because of the generosity of those of you that they visited. If they weren't able to get to all of you, you may continue to give. We are going to do, as we always do, have our food drive through the course of December. Over here behind this tree, there's another tree back there. It has little tags on it. We call it the giving tree. And on those tags are food items. And if you just take a couple after church and then go and get those items and bring them and put them in the sled by the end of the month, it will be overflowing to full. And I say the end of the month because we always run it through the month until January, although there is a great need for the food bank at this time of year. They are well stocked. Well, the problem they have is that they get wiped out, and then in January, when the regular need comes, they have nothing. So we replenish their stores come the new year. So I hope that you will generously help us as we help those in need. We want to give thanks for all those who helped decorate the sanctuary, many of them on Saturday and many during the week. It was wonderful. Whatever time people had, whenever they could, they came and did a little or a lot, and it looks fantastic, as it always does this time of year. But the most wonderful thing I see in this sanctuary is each of you. As we gather together to give thanks to God, we remember all those, we celebrate all those who are with us today, we remember all those who are not. We want to lift up our prayers of thanksgiving for John Cunningham, whose surgery on Wednesday for his eye was successful, and his healing will be swift, I believe. We want to lift up concerns for Peggy Harvey. Peggy Harvey had a surgery last week that was, you might just say routine, not problematic at all. But because she had a heart valve replacement last year, she's on blood thinner. And so as she said to me, no surgery she has is routine, and she had some problems with bleeding. She's at Jefferson Hospital doing well, and they're trying to get her straightened out. So let us pray for Peggy. What other joys, concerns do we have to share with one another this morning and to lift up to God? Jerry? That is wonderful. Thank you for sharing all of those blessings with us as we give thanks to God for you and all the things that are happening in your life that we share. Sonny? It's wonderful to have you here, Bethany, and thank you for sharing that with us, Sonny. Cheryl? Thank you. We do rejoice over that. It is wonderful, the sights and the sounds. We went downtown Pittsburgh yesterday to the ice skating rink, and we don't skate. We just wanted to see it, and it is wonderful. And also, that reminds me that our choir, speaking of sights and sounds, will be helping put together our service of carols and candlelight on Wednesday, December 17th. And so obviously the sights will be great, and it'll be a singing and no preaching, so the sounds will be really good too. Are there others? Judy? We do rejoice. It's good to saw him this morning and last week. Good to see him, and he is doing well. Thank you for sharing that with us. Seeing none other? Linda? We'll pray for Natalia. We'll pray for all those who are sick, because that did remind me that I received, I think, 3 phone calls right before church about people who said they couldn't be here because they're sick. So we know a lot of people are under the weather. So we'll keep all of those who are not feeling well in our prayers this morning. And now let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Most glorious and wonderful God, we come this morning with expectant hearts. We, your people who wait the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate his birth into this world. We celebrate his birth into our hearts. We long for his coming into the world again. And we come again in humility so that we may come also, so that he may come also in glory, that he may make all things perfect in your everlasting kingdom. For we know, Lord, that in this world things are not perfect. There is good and there is bad, but oftentimes we are drawn more to the negative and to the dark. Help us to see the light. Help us to go to the light. Help us to be the light or to reflect the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, to those in need. For all those in our hearts and minds we lift up in prayer this morning, for those who are in need, for those who are cold, for those who are hungry, for those who are lost, may your presence give them the hope, direction, and comfort that they need. For those who are ill, for those who are under the weather, who are simply just feeling down in their bodies, may they know that you are there with them to pick them up when they are weak, to lift them up when they fall, or simply to comfort them. We pray for healing. We pray for their well-being. We pray for the wisdom of their doctors. We pray that they will listen to their advice and follow their medication. We pray that they will simply rest. For we are in Advent, the time of preparation, the time of waiting, and there are so many things that we want to do, so many things that we need to do, or we think so. But all we really need to do is to rest in you a while. To feel your presence, to be warned by your Spirit, to be led by your Word, so that your kingdom may be established in our hearts, and that we may do our part in establishing it through the world. In this holiest place, in this quiet moment, Lord, let us catch our breath, connect to your Spirit. Let us let love and joy and hope take root in our hearts. And may we share the love, the joy, and the hope with those in need. We do rejoice for the thanksgivings that have been shared this morning, for the joys in our lives, for the joys of visitors and daughters worshiping with fathers, for families coming together in Thanksgiving and having friends also to call a family. For David Reed, who was sick but who is now well. For the season that we are in, the decorations and the sights and the sounds that help us to know that it is special, that it only comes once a year. And yet we know that the wonderfulness of the season, that the sights and the sounds only reflect the inspiration of the season, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. Whose birth was the most wonderful sight, and whose words were the most glorious sound that we will ever know. Help us to celebrate this correctly and honestly and faithfully by sharing the good news with all whom we meet, by acting out in love and in kindness and generosity to all people, even those who sometimes upset us or who have hurt us, by sharing what we have with those in need, even though we ourselves often feel as if we are in need. As we pray these things, Lord, we pray that you will walk with us these days in joyful anticipation of Christ's coming. For he, O God, is Lord now and forever, in this place and in all places. Help him to be Lord in our lives, for our entire life. Amen. Will the children come again? Come forward for the Shooter's Sermon. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, and it can chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. It can be found on page 50 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you all, keep awake. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I can tell you that it is difficult to keep awake after you have had your second or third Thanksgiving turkey meal. The best thing about Thanksgiving isn't even so much Thanksgiving, but the leftovers that continue on. And I know several of you have told me that you've had two Thanksgiving meals, so you have a great deal to be thankful for. And the question is that will you be able to keep awake as Advent comes? Because now that we have moved into the Advent season, one thing that we are to do is to be watchful, to keep our eyes open, to look for the signs of the kingdom that is coming. We talk about this in the springtime, the signs of the resurrection that you will see, which are so numerous that it's hard to miss, although sometimes we still do. In wintertime, the signs are harder to see because things are dark and things are not alive and it's just dreary and we're inside more than anything else. But I do love to watch as one by one you see a house get lit up. One by one you see someone's bush turn on. As the Christmas lights begin to increase and increase and increase slowly but steadily as they so beautifully hold off the darkness of night. Even as the world is getting darker and darker as we approach approach the solstice coming up, the world gets lighter and lighter as the lights get on our house. And that is what, to me, makes Christmas such a wonderful time. The celebration of the birth of the Christ child that is done in such a way that we are all basically celebrating it or shouting it visually from our house. At the same time, the streets are alive with excitement and lights. And radio stations broadcast the sound of joy on each channel. TV stations show special after special after special this season. And the prospect of shopping, the potential of gifts, the possibility of magic fill our thoughts this time of year. There's so much to be joyful about. And it seems that if you aren't happy during Christmas, you will be forced to be happy, or expected to be happy, or at least to keep quiet about anything that makes you unhappy, lest you make other people who are happy a little bit less happy. It's a simple message we hear in December, which is celebrate Christmas in all its cheer, or else we will bedazzle you with pretty lights, or else we will serenade you with carols, or else we will bury you in wrapping paper. Celebrate Christmas with a smile, be merry, and don't let anyone know if you are upset in any way. Because for Jesus' sake, if you can't enjoy Christmas, don't ruin someone else's. I say this because for all the wonder and beauty and mystery that fill Christmas every year, there is one dark aspect of the season, and that is that Christmas seems to force a happiness upon us whether we want it or not, or makes us not want to acknowledge some of the difficulties and darknesses in our lives, which we should acknowledge especially at this time of year, because the light of the world came into the world so that the darkness and the shadows would not overcome it. So let's not pretend that the shadows aren't there. Instead, let's take that light and aim it directly at those shadows. You see, the careless sing joy to the world, whether we feel it or not. And even if we do feel joy about a great many things, the Christmas season makes it taboo to mention things that we might not be too joyful about. While we talk about the Christ child come to set us free, many people are still held captive. And really, we all are to some degree, in one way or another, held captive by fear and loss, and trapped by loneliness and sorrow, captured by worry and pain. Of course, all of us have these things in different measure and in different ways, but even the happiest person here has some sadness or anxiety that cannot be eliminated completely by cookies and eggnog, try as we might. The hymn of Advent, my favorite one, the one that we will sing every single Sunday, O come Emmanuel, expresses this truth clearly. O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Hear the words that the hymn chooses to express the feelings of God's people while they wait for a Savior. Words such as ransom and captive and lonely and mourning and exile all in one verse, they describe a people in great distress filled with turmoil. Now the hymn, of course, is about the birth of Jesus Christ, and at the time of his birth, Israel, the nation, was captive. The nation of Israel was a nation called by God and set apart, and yet they had suffered. After a long and hard struggle to unite the kingdom and defeat their enemies, King David brought peace and security for the people for a time. But the peace and the security was very short-lived. When his sons rebelled against him and against one another, causing the kingdom to split into two nations, Israel remained a nation at disharmony, basically for the rest of its time. And continued to fight with one another, and then it separated, and the northern part was conquered by the Assyrians, and then 150 years later, the southern kingdom was captured by the Persians. And the people of the Promised Land who had worked so hard to get there and who had lived there for such a time then were sent away into exile, into a foreign land, the land of Babylon, where they feared for the obliteration of their customs and their faith and their people. After 50 years, a new emperor took the seat of power. And after 50 years of being away from their homeland, the exiles were allowed to return home. But still, Israel was controlled by Persia when they went back. And the former exiles returned, and they argued, and they fought with those who had remained. And they rebuilt the temple, but the ones who remembered the way the temple looked before, they cried, not tears of joy, but sadness when they saw the new temple, because they didn't like it compared to the old one. And the old arguments resurfaced about the right way to worship and the right place to worship. And the Israelites and the Samaritans fought with one another about who should lead and whether or not they should work with their enemies or actively resist them as other nations came. 500 years passed. The Persians were replaced by the Greeks. The Greeks eventually were replaced by the Romans. And all these questions were just as important as before on the day when Christ came. The people longed for a Savior and had been doing so for centuries. For someone to come along like King David who could unite the Israelites and shed their occupiers and restore their independence and glory and restore the people's faith. The hymn, O come, Emmanuel, uses words like captive, for Israel had been captive to foreign powers for much of its history and wished to be ransomed. It mourned for its lost greatness and was lonely for it. It felt separated from Yahweh. And though the people were not actually in exile, the hymn chooses this word to remind the people of how they had been in exile before, and God delivered them from their straits. If the people need a reminding of the things that God had done and promised to do, they need look no further than to the prophet Isaiah. For the words of this hymn calling, "Come, O come, Emmanuel," were answered by the prophet Isaiah when he wrote, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid." He could have just as easily have said that she has been ransomed by God. It gets confusing trying to keep the history straight, so let's simply go along the timeline. Isaiah was written around the time of the Babylonian exile. And the release he refers to is its deliverance from that exile. But 600 years later, the gospel writers read these words and said, how much more do they also refer to Jesus Christ, who ransomed us spiritually rather than physically? And so 600 years or so after that, the church, in putting together its Advent liturgy, combined the birth of Christ with the promise of deliverance contained in the promise in the words of Isaiah. And one of the results of this were the words of the chant, O come, Emmanuel. About 600 years after that, the chant became a hymn when it was put to music. And 800 years later, we sing it still today. So we sing this hymn and we hear the words of Isaiah every Advent to remember that in the time of the exile, in the time of the people's captivity to the Persians, it was real. It was viscerally real. And they were released. And their release was just as real. And they looked at the words of Isaiah and they said, O come, Emmanuel. And time again throughout the history of the Jewish faith, whenever they have needed deliverance, they have remembered what happened in the time of the exile and returned to it. And at the time of Jesus Christ, the people's captivity to the Romans was real. And their release from it was just as real, though different. For we know that when Jesus died and was resurrected, the Romans were still there, and yet Jesus came for a different release, a release from a different captivity. And in our time, our captivity is real. And our desire for release is just as real. Some of us are captive to the pain that comes from the loved ones we have lost, felt especially at this time of the year. Some are captive to the fear that comes from having loved ones who are ill or far away. Some are lonely because our children have moved away and we don't hear from them as much as we want, while others are struggling with divorce and separation. Some are at a loss because of untimely and tragic deaths or because of problems with their families. We want to be ransomed from these things. We want to be ransomed from the fear of terrorism and war and poverty and hunger and sickness and disease. We can know and we can love the carols and the lights and the sounds and the shopping and all the wonders that the Christmas season brings, but if we don't acknowledge that our captivity is real, it'll still be there on December 26th, no matter how much we try to merry Christmas it away. We must remember that the reason we have joy over the coming of a Savior in the first place, it's because we all have things from which we need to be saved. And when we look at the world, we see that there are things that we need to be saved from as well. Things that make us upset or anger us, or things that we seem powerless to control. We see this all the time. We saw this especially this past week in the events that happened in Ferguson. So many people wish that the world could be set straight. So many people wish that justice could be served. So many people wish that people would react in a way that is constructive and positive and helpful. And when it doesn't happen, it makes us verge on despair. One of the things that struck me is, as we were seeing on TV, some of the rioting, some of the fighting, some of the things that took place, you know, the first thing that struck me is, one, I felt bad for those who weren't doing it, because I think, obviously, that if they feel that justice hasn't been done, they have every right to protest and to express themselves, but they get ruined for those who do the stupid things. And the other thing is that you would hear someone say, I heard someone say that they wish that the people in Ferguson would remember the example of Martin Luther King, and I certainly do too, but do we remember what happened the last time Martin Luther King was here? How it ended for him? I mention that because as we want that to be remembered, we must remember that it isn't all that easy to be like Martin Luther King, and that maybe we can understand why people might not react in the way that we want him to react. There is a reason why he is so special. He's pretty rare. Likewise, people see the state of the world, and they see the state of the world, and they see the way people act, and they see the way people behave, and they long for Christ to return, and they wish that Christ, as we sing, O come, Emmanuel, that Christ would come into this world right now to fix things. Because if Christ were here right now, obviously everything would be okay, but do you remember what happened the last time Christ was here and how that ended? I think sometimes we want Christ to come back and Christ to be here so that Christ can fix things and alleviate our responsibility. But if Christ were to come back and we were to be the same as we were 2,000 years ago, the end would not be any different. I do not believe that Christ will come back until we are ready to receive him, and not just us, but indeed the world. For the scriptures give us the promise of the coming of the Lord. Advent calls us to prepare for this coming. But if it did happen, if it happened right now, would we really want it? Would we really be ready for it? Would we really be excited to receive it? Because we know from past experience that if Jesus came into the world, we should expect the unexpected. There are many things from which we need to be saved, and Christ the Lord will save us. But are we prepared to do what must be done to be saved? Are we prepared to forgive those who have hurt us? Are we prepared to turn the other cheek for those who strike us? Are we prepared to go the extra mile for those who do not help us? Are we prepared to welcome the stranger and the alien as Christ himself and as the Israelites themselves were strangers in a foreign land? Are we truly prepared for the Lord to come? And this is the question we must ask ourselves at the beginning of every Advent season. For Advent is a season of waiting, but not passive waiting. Not just sitting around waiting. It's a time of waiting and preparation in the midst of the waiting. So that when the Lord comes, whether it is in our world or in our hearts, we are ready to receive him. The prophet Isaiah says to his people, "See, the Lord comes. He comes with might, but he uses that might to shepherd us and protect us. His arms rule for him. His reward is with him. His recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." The words of Isaiah moved the people of Israel to keep the faith through a long and hard exile. It nurtured them through wars and conquests by two nations. Since the birth of Christ, these words have nourished the hopes and comforted the souls of Jews and Christians through crusades, inquisitions, genocides, holocaust, wars, famines, loss of jobs and loved ones, riots and injustices, and much, much more. Never do these words take away the source of our pain, but always do they remind us that God is with us, has been with us, will gather us in his arms and carry us in her bosom, lead us to that place where we shall be released and comforted and saved. Let us celebrate with all joy this Christmas, all of the many reasons that we have to be joyous, but let us never cover up the things that we have that make us sad or upset or worry, the things that hold us captive. Let us never cover them up with presents and food. Let us offer these things to God and accept the gift of Christmas, the gift of Emmanuel, the gift of God with us, the gift of Jesus Christ, who has come to set us free. Comfort, O comfort my people. See, the Lord God comes. Let us be ready when he does. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 125 in the chalice hymnal, "Come, O Long Expected Jesus." When I was growing up, I wouldn't say that we were poor, but we didn't have as much money as a lot of my friends did. My parents would work, both of them, 6 to 7 days a week, and they gave us the things that we needed and a little bit more. But in the end, I had to wear Puma tennis shoes and not Nike Air Jordans, and that was no small cause of trauma for me at certain points in my life. And we had wonderful Christmases. I enjoyed them all and remember them all fondly. But it was always a frustrating thing when I would go back to school and I would hear my friends talk about the things that Santa Claus had brought them, and I knew that they had not been nicer than me, right? And then I understood, but it was always a little bit frustrating when you do the comparison shopping, so to speak. And now I'm on the other end of that, and I'm dealing with the competition with the neighbors and the friends' parents, and the why can't you give me a Kindle, because Noah's parents bought him that, and we have a PlayStation, and we have a Wii, but they're old, and we don't have an Xbox, and so now we need that because Johnny has one. So I have to deal with that a little bit, and I do very much. I appreciated it before, but now I even more so appreciate not only how my parents worked, but how they dealt with that. And when I look back on my childhood, although I'm not yet ready to say that I'm completely over the trauma of having, you know, off-brand tennis shoes, I very much am glad that I did not get everything that I wanted. Because there is such a very important lesson in that, and an essential lesson, not only in childhood, but throughout the rest of our life. Because we're not going to get everything we want. And how we deal with that starts at a very young age. And the sooner we can start to learn that, the better we will all be. And I think of that whenever I come to this table, because one, when I come to this table, I never get everything that I want. Everything. I could pray. I could make a list of things to pray for. Go all day. And Jesus isn't going to just check it off and give me everything that I want. And sometimes it's because it's beyond my control, and maybe sometimes it's because I don't deserve it. Who knows? But there's a lesson there when the answer is no. Secondly, we think of when Jesus Christ was here in this world, he did not give the people everything they wanted. And I think that especially when we read the words of Isaiah, when they talk about the people being restored, we remember that when Jesus came into the world, his followers, they wanted him to get rid of Rome. They wanted him to take care of Herod. They wanted him to raise up an army. They wanted him to do things that he was not there to do. And when he left the world, we think of how it's such a happy ending. But if you think about it, he still didn't do most of the things they wanted him to do. Sometimes he healed some people. Sometimes he fed some people. Sometimes he took care of some injustices. But when he left the world, there were hungry people and sick people, and there are people abusing their power again and again and again, and it has been that way for 2,000 years. And the lesson for us is that Jesus did not give us everything we wanted, but he gave us what we needed. And now the question is that will we give Jesus what he wants? Will we give him our love? Will we give him our time? Will we give him our treasure? Will we give him our hearts? Give them over to him that we may do as he would have us do, knowing that if we do, the world that we want, only then will come into being. It begins and it ends with him, but we do have our part to play, and so as we gather at this table, we share in this meal, we share in his grace, we give thanks for it, but we ask him, we should ask him, what would you have me do? We share in this meal, and we lift up all the things we want Christ to do, but at the end, let us ask him, what would he have us do? So that we play a part in his will being done in this world. And so that we know that we don't get everything we wanted, but in Christ we have everything we need. And so now this morning we share this meal, and now this morning let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we begin the preparation for your birth. Let us not just prepare with the cookies and the wrapping and the buying. Let us prepare this season with some of the things that we have kind of let go, but we need to take care of before Christmas Eve. The mending of a friendship. The calling on someone who is ill. The giving generously, not just to the people we know, but more to the people that we don't know. so that when Christmas Eve comes, we can sit here in this solemn and beautiful sanctuary, knowing that, yes, it's great that the cookies are done and the gifts are wrapped and the house is decorated, but knowing that we have given our all to truly celebrate the blessing of your birth. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took a cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 128. One Candle Was Lit, verses 1, 2, and 4. Let us stand as we sing. Let us bow our heads for the benediction. See, the Lord has come in the past. The Lord is coming today. And the Lord God will come again at the end of time. May you go from this place surrounded by the power, the presence, and the peace of our everlasting Lord.